Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, are Jerry Jones and the Cowboys making a big mistake sticking with Dak Prescott? Plus, Tom Brady is doubling down on his intention to play until he's 45. And is Dez Bryant about to join Drew Brees in New Orleans? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. So Dak Prescott had two costly turnovers in last night's loss to the Titans. The Cowboys are now 3-5. Dak hasn't thrown for 300 yards in any game this season. Jerry Jones said last night's game won't impact the way he looks at Dak in the future. And this morning, Jerry told 105.3 The Fan, quote, "Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's young. He's going to get extended." We're joined by Rob Parker. And Rob,
what's happening?
Should last night's game affect Dak's future?
It should, but it won't. If you're an anti-Cowboys fan in this country, you should be jumping up for joy. Jerry Jones has done it again, and Jerry Jones is going to extend a guy who's a game manager, who's not a very good quarterback, who worked with smoke and mirrors that first year when they were 13-3. And hasn't done anything. I mean, look at the rankings. 27th total offense this year. 26 points per game. I don't know how you can look at anything other than to think that Dak Prescott should have Airwick pinned to his jersey. He stinks. He stinks.
Stinks, Skip.
Well, I don't know what else to say.
You were doing okay until that line.
No,
but that's okay.
He does, Skip. Yeah. And they were supposed to, Amari Cooper was supposed to make things even better, right? Okay, threw a touchdown to him early, whatever. But they went and only got 14 points, got skunked in the second half. This was the game that I think people thought would jumpstart them, right? They get Amari Cooper, they're at home. They win this game.
Coming out of the bye. Yeah.
Coming out of the bye, feel at good. And instead, it was a dud. It was a dud. And I get it. The defense gave up, 11 out of 14 third downs. I get that. Skip, I'm not going to poo-poo it, act like it didn't happen. So the defense wasn't up to par either. But still, you got to get more from this quarterback. The idea that he can't throw for over 300 yards, it's the same thing every week. 175, 200. A touchdown, can't throw the ball downfield. It's a mess. And Jerry Jones, this is why the Cowboys are run like a mom and pop store. They've been in the playoffs. They're 2-8 in the postseason in the last 21 seasons since the last time they won a Super Bowl. This is what they are because Jerry Jones thinks that he knows more about football than football guys, and this is why you have the mess. But if you're an anti-Cowboy fan, you should be happy as get out, because the Cowboys are a non-factor as long as Dak Prescott is the quarterback and Jerry Jones is the owner. Mm.
So let me get this right. Jerry said he's young and he's going to get extended. Is he any good? Yeah, he's young, but no one, by any analytics, by any metrics, he's regressed since 2016, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. That's fact. That's not conjecture. Mm-hmm. That's not speculation.
That's not
innuendo. Mm. That's factual. Mm. You love it, Jenny. Hmm. The stat that Skip Bayless loves more than any other stats, and he loves stat. He's a stat guy. He could have been a statistician. He was so good with numbers.
You love stats?
No, you always talk.
I only use the case closers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know what you call it?
Yeah.
What
case you call closer?
It? Oh, yeah. Case Dak closer. Prescott is 25th in QBR.
I told you that to start the show off.
I
enlightened you.
No, now you're using my stat. No. What he tried to do, he tried to defuse the situation. If I put it out there.
There's nothing to defuse.
No, you told me that all last year when he finished third, when he finished second, he finished third or fourth. Oh, he's the. So, in other words, by your logic, Skip Bayless' logic, Dak Prescott is the 25th ranked quarterback in all of football.
Correct.
So they have the 25th ranked quarterback in football. They're 27th in scoring. And this guy, this young guy, is leading your franchise to where?
Mm. Tell me when it's my turn.
It's not your turn. Yeah, I'm just asking you the question.
Oh, do I answer or not?
No, you can answer the question, but I don't want you to know.
Jenny, is it my turn?
You're going to go on a diatribe. You're going to go on a diatribe and try to. But Skip, look, I get it. You hopefully you find it, but okay, the extension. Okay, you're gonna extend him at what? At what price? Is it gonna be $15 million? Is it gonna be $18 million? Mm. Or is it gonna be the going rate with Jimmy Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford, the $27, $28, $30 million? That's the big question. Because if you get
you want me to answer?
No. If you're going to get if you're going to get him for $10, $15 million less than the going rate, that's a great deal. But if you think this guy's going to take you.
But even at that money, Shannon, even at a discounted rate, where are you going?
They play Blake Bortles and Case Keenum, $18 million.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, but where are you going? The Cowboys are going nowhere with him at quarterback.
It's your turn, Skip.
What do you think, Skip?
Thank you very much
Skip,
for that.
Good morning.
So, Rob Parker conveniently avoided acknowledging that he owes me another dinner off Friday, Sunday night. Am I right about that?
Oh, we're not talking about, what are we talking
Tom
about?
Tom Brady made him eat some more crow. Am I right about that? And to answer this question, I would like to show what I posted very late last night on Instagram, because this is my answer to this question. Could we see this, please? Thank you.
We got
here I come into my kitchen.
Oh, boy.
You've been in my kitchen, Rob. Yep, and there's my Dak jersey. And
my goodness.
That was the best throw of the night. That was my second best throw. Dak didn't even come close to being that accurate with both those throws. It's kind of hard to hit that little tiny
thing.
I hit them both, man, and they stayed in
there. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. So I cannot defend Dak Prescott anymore because he is dangerously regressing in his third year of play to 25th in QBR.
I'm shocked.
Although I will remind you, Aaron Rodgers is 22nd in QBR. So you love that stat because you used it. So
Aaron Rodgers has 15 touchdowns.
You been drinking some of this?
22nd to 25th.
You been drinking some of this?
I have not. I don't drink and I never
you
did.
You said you gave it up on Dak. Something's wrong with you.
So even though Dak had decent numbers last night, 21 of 31 for 243 and two touchdowns with one interception, the interception was absolutely indefensible and unforgivable, and it was the worst decision of his football life, and it was the turning point decision of the 2018 Dallas Cowboys because they were teetering on good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, and they went way bad. They are 3-5 bad because Dak Prescott forced to throw off his back foot, gun-shy, seeing, feeling the rush, in the direction of his newest, greatest receiver, Amari Cooper, who was completely double-covered by the first-team all-pro safety, Kevin Byard, and he threw it like Amari is 7 feet tall when he's all of 6 feet, 1 inch tall. It was a horrendously bad throw, and I actually now appreciate the fact that Kevin Byard added insult to injury by running straight to the star and celebrating, because we deserved that, because the quarterback deserved it. And I believe the team lost heart and faith in the quarterback at that point, because there have been too many of those this year. Mm-hmm. I will still defend his rookie year as the greatest rookie year any quarterback in the history of this league has ever played, and that is
even better than RG3's rookie
absolutely
year? Okay, I'm just asking.
I mean, it was sensational. Okay. RG3 had a rocky start, but then he came on strong. I'll just show you the numbers. It was sensational. And they ran away with the division at 13-3. And then in the second year, I defend that because his QBR plummeted from third to fourth in the league, and he outplayed Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff and Alex Smith.
Stop saying that.
He did. I'll show you the numbers. He was really good last year and somehow got them to 9-7 just because of him, with no Zeke for six games and no Sean Lee for six games. But last night, indefensible. Last night, he was teetering on disaster as a third-year quarterback. And I know Jerry has to say the right thing and try to defend him, but I can't. I won't. Everything both of you just said is exactly frighteningly true to me, because I'm not seeing it this year. I don't see anything. And it started at Carolina in that disastrous opener, and it continued at Seattle. And it's just been one disaster after another. And I'll see flashes, like at the end of the first half last night, he goes 10 plays, 73 yards, because they went up-tempo, no huddle, take the decision-making out of it, and just let him rock and fire. And he's pretty good. And you saw him. He threw about five good balls in a row because he threw them with authority and conviction. And then in the second half, when the pressure remounted on him and it's 14-all, disaster.
Shouldn't Jerry be concerned, though, Skip?
Yeah, and I think he is.
With all the weapons.
He's just trying to say the right things. But he went out and he spent a first-round pick to get Amari Cooper. And I know it's just one game body of work, but that was a really bad sign.
But he also just said he didn't see a scenario where Dez wouldn't be back with the team.
Yeah.
And we know how that worked out.
Okay. Well, he said he's going to be extended. And all I have right now is extended heartburn from last night, because that's just that was awful. And Jerry knows it. And I'm going to quote Jerry one more time. He said, "Candidly, I did not see this coming." That's what he said in the locker room last night. I'm still, like, rocked by what happened last night because off a bye, when you're 3-0 at home against the 30th-ranked offense, and you've got – don't forget, let's not let the defense off the hook.
It came in
ranked number one in scoring defense, and it got devastated by a quarterback who's not very good.
But Skip, what about your offense? You're 27th in scoring.
My defense?
Hold on.
Shouldn't you hold the defense just as accountable?
Yeah, you should.
I told you when the game ended, I couldn't figure out – should I blame Dak more or the defense more? Because it's kind of like pick your poison, because they were both poison.
Well, my thing is, if you have a quarterback that's worth anything, you're a quarterback-driven team.
You know, they have been a defense-driven team.
How? So, in other words, you co-sign with me and Rob said that Dak is a game manager. Yeah. If you're a defensive-based football team.
Right.
No,
this year they have been defensive-based. Last year they were horrendous on defense, and even in 2016 they weren't very good.
But even when Jerry, the first year, remember how long it took him to really embrace Dak?
He never really bought in.
But he didn't buy in, but I don't think it was because of Dak. It was still his love for Tony Romo.
Just remember.
You know what I mean? And yeah. Now,
let's just remember. Let's reframe this. Do you remember Dak Prescott in his one and only playoff game against Aaron Rodgers? Was he not great in that game?
Yes.
He threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and got him back in the game. They were down, 21-3? Wait a second. It was 31 all, and it took Mason Crossbar making two cross. Well, am I right?
Whoa.
56 yards and 51 yards to win the game?
But you could have. Hold on, Skip. Don't do that.
Wow.
Don't do that.
Dak Prescott was sensational.
He took the L.
Okay, but
we don't look at – hold on.
Okay, he's a rookie quarterback playing in his first playoff game against the guy you say is the greatest quarterback ever.
You saw that throw Aaron made. You remember that? That was how they won the game.
Pitch and catch. No, that was
– that was no pitch and catch.
Don't do this, Skip.
That was a defensive
breakdown. You make it seem like
– they're playing prevent. They got 6 DBs back on the 20-yard.
Nobody can make that throw other than Aaron Rodgers.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, I could have made that throw, and I could have made the catch. In fact, I could have thrown it to myself and gone again.
Rob, has there ever been another rookie to start a playoff game? So that, I will make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Dak Prescott is the only rookie to ever start a playoff game.
No.
Okay, then. So what are we talking
about? What's your
point? My point is you keep hyping about, he started a playoff game. He lost.
Okay, but tell me he was bad in that game.
He was bad.
Was he bad?
They lost.
Oh, please.
No. We don't grade at my restaurant. I was like, you play good.
Your restaurant's going to get shut
no,
down.
No.
I passed. By the health inspector.
I just passed inspection. They gave me an A+.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Yelp.
Yeah.
I'm on Yelp now.
Yelp?
Got A+.
Wow.
It's the place to be. For hot ales.
Really?
Yep.
Hot ales. You've changed your whole menu. You used to have only winners.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
What happened was, Skip, I was at first in the business of excuse making. But I kept having to change the menu because I keep having to come up with a different excuse.
But then
I cut the menu and I said, you know what? I'm going to get into the win-loss business.
I always told you sports has a short menu. It's just wins and losses. Yeah. There's nothing else. Now, what was the reaction from Cowboy fans when they saw your
post on Instagram. I don't follow anybody. I don't know.
You don't know what people said?
I don't know.
That it? Did you fish that jersey? Did Ernestine go get the jersey out this
still
morning?
Still in the trash.
Left it.
He said it's still
done.
There.
Left it.
You're never going to wear
Rob,
it again.
You called him. This is the menu. That's the menu
That's
there. That's
the menu.
That's it. That's a bigger menu you get right here.
Well, then.
Hot ale the hot dudes.
Then Rob can buy me dinner at Shannon's restaurant.
No.
There you
Cowboys.
You're not going to forget that, are you? I was on a roll against you.
I told you, don't go to that well again.
But
better not go to that Brady well.
I'm going to get it back.
I'm
going to get all my cases back for
you
the year
out. You're going to lose so many more cases. You're forgetting about a pending bet.
Oh, you got Michigan, Alabama.
He doesn't forget.
Michigan, Alabama. I ain't forget nothing.
If I can remind you.
Michigan, Alabama.
And?
I got Alabama. Go beat the brakes off.
That's not the bet.
Oh, khaki pants.
Tomorrow, I will remind you of what you said.
Oh, khaki pants.
Yep.
Tomorrow, Rob, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Oh, the Cowboys, they dropped to 3-5 with their loss last night. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. We're happy to have you, although I'm not so sure we're going to like your takeaway from this one.
Hey, Skip.
Look at that.
I'm happy to be here. I'm in my cowboy blue today.
Are you speaking as a Redskin now a Falcon or which are you? I don't know.
As a non-biased analyst. That's what he's speaking
as. As a guy who don't like the Cowboys, Skip. As a guy who don't like the Cowboys.
I don't know what's going on down there.
Okay,
so you just disqualified every word that's about to come out of your mouth.
What's your takeaway?
Well, the truth is the truth, Skip. And I don't know what's going on with Dallas. They have a great defense. The defense didn't show up to play. They did get some sacks. They got some turnovers early in the game.
What sack? The first one?
They got four sacks.
Oh, please.
They had four sacks.
Yeah. Early.
They, It felt like they had a chance to disrupt Mariota, but mm-hmm. for some reason, I just think the energy wasn't there for Dallas.
Totally and agree.
Coming off a bye week, mm-hmm. You would have liked your team to be a little bit more prepared,
I'd
right?
I'd say, yeah.
But for some reason, Dallas mm. just didn't seem like, mm. I don't know, it didn't seem like they knew that they were still in it. In the race for the mm-hmm. NFC East, that is.
Did you sense any urgency last night?
I saw none.
None.
And for a team that's chasing the Eagles, that's mm-hmm. chasing the Redskins, mm-hmm. who just disclosed a bunch of injuries, mm-hmm. so I feel like they're completely out of it at this point.
No, I don't know if they're completely out of this division. I don't know.
Because their offense is so bad, Skip. Mm-hmm. Their offense was already bad.
Right. It should be the Eagles.
And
now.
So
should be.
It will be.
Dallas had a chance. Yeah. I thought Dallas had a chance to show that they could continue to get better. But to put that kind of display on, and I don't know who to point the finger at. I don't know if it's Dak, because he did make some mistakes that you don't mm-hmm. that you don't like seeing him make. Mm-hmm. Like to force that ball to Amari Cooper was
horrendous.
I mean beyond horrendous.
Yep.
But you know what I saw early in the mm-hmm. game that showed me that this was gonna happen?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When Amari ran the little in route and came back out. Mm-hmm. Dak was on him the whole time.
He was.
If you saw Allen Hurns in the back of the end zone, ran across it, almost jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks. And I bet he was the only one who wasn't celebrating when Amari caught that ball. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of was like, this might not be a good thing, mm-hmm. because if Dak starts only looking at Amari Cooper as he was doing with Dez Bryant,
yep.
it messes him up.
Fell right back in the
it
trap.
It messes him up. Yep. And so that was obviously a horrible interception. But for the most part, I didn't think Dak played too bad. I think he gave you a chance to win.
He gave you a great chance to win. Mm-hmm.
No, what fell short was the defense, because this defense is a top five defense.
Right.
On paper, top five defense.
You realize it came in number one in scoring defense.
Yes.
Number one in the NFL.
I didn't know that.
Okay, well,
and so
it just
to give up
28
points to a Tennessee Titan team that
it was ranked 30th in scoring.
That bad offensively?
Huh?
Tennessee,
what?
That is. Tennessee's bad offense.
They're just bad.
You see what you said? You said Dallas came into number one in scoring defense. They started reading the paper. See, when that's what happens.
Maybe.
When you look at a team that's 30th in scoring, we're number one in scoring, they're challenged scoring the football. We don't give up a whole lot of points. Skip, normally what happens, you normally would fire a coach, especially if he struggles going into the bye. You come out of bye and you lay an egg like that, that's normally a fireable offense. Because the owner would say,
I would fire him today.
The owner would say, you lost it.
Whatever message you're giving them, they did not respond.
They're not responding anymore. The thing is, in your quarterback, if your quarterback is playing well, you can overcome his turnovers. Mm-hmm. If your quarterback is playing poorly and he turns the ball over, you're not overcoming that. Mm-hmm. Skip, he's lost a lot of confidence. He's lost confidence from – he's not the same mm-hmm. guy, the cocky guy, his mm-hmm. rookie season that we see now. Mm-hmm. He sees the great quarterbacks feel the rush. He's seeing the rush.
Mm-hmm.
And so – and he's clutching – Skip, he's clutching – I mean, he's holding that ball, and is giving those guys an extra to get to him. He's got to let it go. He's got to trust it. If it's five, you take your hitch. If it's not there down the field, you check the ball down.
What'd you see at the end of the half? 10 plays, 73 yards, no huddle, up-tempo. Yes. Mm-hmm. Dak just rocking and firing, right? No second guessing. Mm-hmm. No check off at the line of scrimmage. No, don't. He checks out of every other play, and it's like you're second guessing yourself.
Right.
And every time he checks out of a play, it goes nowhere. Seriously.
You're supposed to check out of a good play to a great play. He's checking out of a bad play into a worse play.
That is correct. So, I'm going to say it again. I can no longer defend this football team. This football team is exactly what its record says it is. It's a bad 3-5 football team. It shows you its potential early in that game, because what is tearing my guts out today is that could have been 21-0, because they were in position to score 21 early points. Mm-hmm. By the middle of the first quarter, it could have been 21-0, because they had 1st and 10 at the Tennessee 23. Dak misses a fade route. I don't know what he did. Threw it like 5 yards out of bounds to Amari. And they miss the field goal. I think my kicker's finally gone south mentally, so that's another issue. Then they get 1st and 10 at the Tennessee 15, and they go cash it on the little option route you're talking about, the little in-and-out route. So that's 7-0. And then they get 1st and goal at the 4. And this is where Dak lost me completely. This is where I saw dangerous regression, because to your point, you have landed Amari Cooper. You're coming out of the bye. I know you don't know him that well, but You throw it off the your back foot. He dropped back with that gun-shy body language where he's just seeing rush, 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 and he's feeling it and he's seeing ghosts. Mm-hmm. And he throws it off his back foot in the direction of Amari Cooper like he's 7 feet tall. He's 6'1", and he is way double covered mm-hmm. by a Kevin Byard who was, he wasn't just Pro Bowl last year. He was first team All-Pro. There are two Titans on your new receiver.
Right.
Well, isn't that the point? Isn't that what you wanted? Does that not mean that there are three other receivers?
Yeah.
Is there somebody? Is Cole Beasley open somewhere in the end zone? He's got to be, right?
Skip, not to cut you off, but when he called that play in the huddle, he says, "I'm throwing this ball to Amari Cooper."
He just knew it in his head.
Probably throw it to Amari Cooper.
And then insult to injury, and I'm going to give Kevin Byard credit for this. He catches it, and he must have already premeditated, but he runs all the way to the star, and he does the T.O. San Francisco on the star.
They had a stadium open. Yeah. Let that guy see
it. You know what?
Look at me.
Look at me.
He rubbed their noses in it, and it stood up. They stood up after that because the Cowboy defense did not. And back to your point about Marcus Mariota, I still don't think he's any good. This is just me. He looks to me like a wide receiver without much of an arm trying to play quarterback, like masquerading as a quarterback, because it's a slow delivery, and the ball comes out like he pushes the ball, like a Nerf football. That's what it looks like. And his Nerf footballs would leave his hand, and I'd be saying, I'm sitting on my couch saying, that's intercepted. No, somebody's wide open catching. They go 11 for 14 on third down. 11 for 14, that's impossible.
As good a defense as Dallas has,
you can't, that's what
Dallas is the 29th ranked team on third down. They can't get off the field.
You can't get off the field. That means you just rolled your helmets out on the field and said, we're the Dallas Cowboys, you know, lay down for us, right? And Tennessee will not lay down because, remember, they came in the third best scoring defense, so they're pretty good on defense.
Well, hats off to Mike Vrabel. I think he definitely had those guys playing more inspired football than Jason Garrett. And you talk about, should Garrett be fired? I mean, I like Jason Garrett personally.
So do I.
But at this point, if those guys can't get up for this type of game on a Monday night stage off of a bye, I mean, you have everything in front of you in your division, especially hearing what's going on in Washington with their injuries. If that doesn't get you motivated to give your best effort, I don't know what will.
And remember, they're 3-0 at home. Yeah. And now they're 3-1 mm-hmm. with, trust me on this, I've been rooting for this team since 1961. That was as devastating and demoralizing and disillusioning and finally disgusting a loss as I can ever remember under the circumstances of bye week. The division is begging for you to go mm-hmm. take a hold of it or at least challenge the Eagles. And you do that, you lay that egg, it's so shocking. I'm going to repeat what Jerry Jones said. He just looked like he was deer in headlights after the game in the locker room because he said, candidly, I didn't see that coming. Well, I'm still shocked by it.
But you know what? Maybe we should have seen it coming because think about it. You said the Tennessee Titans are the third-ranked defense.
Yeah.
Okay, the Dallas Cowboys average scoring about 18 points a game. So why are we surprised they only got 14 against the third-ranked defense? We keep talking about, okay, the Cowboys defense, we're surprised that Tennessee scored 9 points against Jacksonville. They're offensively, they're scoring challenged. Mm-hmm. But so are the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys are scoring challenged, and they're going against the third-ranked defense. Mm-hmm. So, okay, one defense showed up, the other team's defense didn't. One team's offense showed up, the other team's offense didn't.
And guess what? That means 28 to 14.
That's exactly what that means.
That means you're just reeling. That means devastation in Dallas. That means you're back to the drawing board, like back to square one.
Where do we go from here?
I mean, with Zeke's your best player, you have to find a way to get him the ball unconventionally, which means you can't just hand it off to him and let him run down.
The offensive line, you tell me it was winning the line of scrimmage?
No, they weren't at all. That's why I'm saying you have to spread him out, put him in different positions. Like, people think because Zeke's a bigger style running back that he can't catch the ball and do some of the things that Le'Veon Bell and some of these other guys,
Ty Gurley,
can do. He can absolutely do that. And I don't know why they aren't trying to find a way to get him the ball in different locations, because when he's just in the backfield and he's trying to go downhill running the ball, they just got too many guys hitting him. I mean, he can't get started.
Listen, do you know how many zero-yard runs he's had this year? I just sit back and just, like, bang my head against the wall. What are you doing? Because first and 10 becomes second and 12. Well, then you know what's going to happen.
And they're throwing the ball. Yeah. And then you're going to throw it again.
Yeah, okay. Great.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry, Skip. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm trying to win that. I'm trying to win my case of Duke. I told you at the end of the year, I'm going to have all them 10 cases. I'm going to have them all back.
I know Oakland's smiling because they're going to have a top 10 pick.
Yep.
Top five.
As if that loss top five, isn't top bad five, enough. No mercy. Dez Bryant will be in New Orleans today, reportedly working out for the Saints. Dez pretty much confirmed the report on Twitter last night. And New Orleans is very thin at receiver behind Michael Thomas. Shannon, are you surprised by this?
I guess I shouldn't be, Skip, because we see they only had four receivers active, I think, on Sunday. Ted Ginn Jr., who's their speed guy to take the top off, he's on IR. He yep. could come back at a later point this season. But what's this offense is about precision, about timing, and that's not what Dez is really known for. Now, Sean Payton and Drew Brees will not be pressured into, you know, calling plays or throwing him the football, force-feeding him the football. So I guess that's a good thing. But this doesn't make sense. Now, he's not the only receiver. Also, they're bringing in Brandon Marshall, who was recently released by the Seattle mm-hmm. Seahawks. They're also bringing in a guy, a former Baltimore Raven. But I'm surprised at Dez because I wouldn't think that this is a good fit or a natural fit for him or the Saints. But when you're thin, you kick the tires of a lot of cars, and hopefully one is drivable and you can get some use out of it.
So, when I sit back and look at what the Saints have accomplished, it is shocking to me that they are so thin at receiver mm-hmm. that it just goes Michael Thomas dominating the league, and then Kamara, Michael Thomas got 70, and then Kamara's got 51 catches, sure. and then it drops all the way to Benjamin Watson at 26, and that Traquan Smith is their third-round pick, mm-hmm. the rookie out of UCF, is got 12 catches, so he hasn't been much of a factor. And that's the whole roster, mm-hmm. and they are second in points scored in the NFL. Is that not a tribute to Drew Brees?
It's unbelievable.
It's just unbelievable. So, again, to your point about fits, how can Dez – He still believes he's Dez Bryant.
Right.
And trust me, Brandon Marshall will still believe he's Brandon yes. Marshall. And that Kamar Aiken, I like him okay. He had almost 1,000 yards when you're from Baltimore in 2015.
Yes.
So, again, he doesn't think he's Dez Bryant.
Right.
So it would seem to me like he would be the best fit as a guy who could just be a cog in the system. Like he wouldn't bring a bunch of ego or no baggage or anything.
But it's surprising to me, Skip, because if you look at these teams that these guys are coming for, let's just take Dez Bryant. Offensively, they struggle, and you can bring this guy in. Seattle, it's not like they got a juggernaut offensively, mm-hmm. and they're just letting guys willy-nilly go.
Yep.
And so you're going to bring him into the number two offense in all of football, and like what? It's not like, you know, Russell Wilson is still – he's an unbelievable quarterback.
Yep.
Is he Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees? No. But he's a very good quarterback
he is,
if he's proven commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And – like I said, and Brandon didn't get it done there.
He didn't.
It just strikes me as a guy, I mean, because I look at both of these guys are very similar. They're big body guys. They live in the back shoulder, mm-hmm. Jump ball realm. Brandon used to could run routes, but as he's gotten older, injury's taking its toll, and he doesn't run like he once did. Mm-hmm. Dez hadn't run, never been known as a route runner, and hadn't run really well in a very, very long time. It just, the fit doesn't seem there for me, but you know, Sean Payton and Drew Brees might can squeeze something out of these guys.
Maybe. To me, I never underestimate what Sean Payton might do in the way of a splash move because he loves to say, watch this NFL.
Right.
If you've rejected him, I'll make something out of him.
Right.
Because he likes to put on a show. Mm-hmm. And Dez brings star power and presence. I think it's ancient star power because last year he just was a shell of himself.
But I'll tell you what he won't allow. You remember what happened on the opening night
with
Adrian Peterson?
Do I?
He looked at Sean Payton, and what happened the next week?
Stared daggers at him.
He was in Arizona.
He was.
So what's going to happen when Dez Bryant take his helmet off or do this? I was open. Where are you going to be?
As soon as he's in Drew Brees' ear, you got to throw it to me. Drew will be like, well, you got to go over there and sit down.
Yeah.
Right?
Take that up with Sean.
Yeah. Well.
Like, why are you out of the game? He said, Drew told me to come over here and talk to you about it. I want the ball. Nah.
They got to do something because they need one more receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you can't continuously go in the game with four wide receivers.
Yep.
Because eventually that's going to catch up with you. You like to go into the game with five and have a guy that can play multiple positions. So if one gets nicked, he can go in and he can fill in. You four receivers, man. You're tempting fate.
Well, the truth is they go into games with two wide receivers, right? With Michael Thomas and what? Tre'Quan Smith? No, seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. How do you get away with that?
Well, you knock on wood that nobody's got nicked and had to come out. I mean, you and Ted Ginn. So basically, since they've been down Ginn Jr., they've been basically going with four wide receivers.
Yeah, and they've become balanced for the first time a long time, and they're pretty 50-50 run pass. That's the way they've been winning football games, and that will continue, but you still need some other threat. So at some point, the league is going to say, this is how we stop Michael Thomas. Do we have to put three guys on him?
Right.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah, I'm not letting him beat me.
Yeah.
The guys that you mentioned, those other guys, they're going to have to show
How many times did Michael Thomas have Marcus Peters in single coverage?
Yeah. No, that shouldn't happen.
Well, that's
I'm doubling him.
Yeah.
He's not getting 12 balls. He might get 12 balls, but you're going to throw 30 at him.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to throw 15 passes at him and he got catch 12 of them. Mm. If he does, I need two new corners.
Yep.
Or it's corner and a safety because I'm cutting you guys. If I have him double and he catch 12 passes, or I'm cutting both of you. You're not going back with me.
I still say Alvin Kamara is more wide receiver than running back.
Mm.
And he can run the football.
He's slippery.
Boy, he can catch it like crazy.
Yeah.
He can run precise, quick cut routes where I'm just – He looks like a wideout.
Now you understand why St. Nick got that stinker. When he had Yeldon and he had Big Derrick Henry and he had Drake. All them guys down there at the same time.
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
He's
like, I can't. And he got old TT down there throwing that thing. Oh, Tua Tagovailoa.
You know what? I think he made a big mistake. Letting Alvin go to Tennessee.
How?
That was a big mistake.
Derrick Henry won the Heisman.
You remember
who was that, Drake, that ran the kickoff back against Clemson?
He did.
I mean, it's how you argue with Nick Saban, anything that he does.
Well, he gives up 40 a lot.
And again, that defense is back where it's supposed to be, at top.
Well, here we go. Michigan's coming.
But they better worry about Ohio State. Worry about Urban.
They got a lot to worry about.
We do.
They better worry about Rutgers and Indiana.
Oh, stop it, Skip.
Yeah,
Rutgers.
They got a lot of work to do.
And everybody talking about, well, Alabama doesn't play anybody. Rutgers. Are we talking about Rutgers? Nebraska.
Yeah, but Rutgers and Ohio State are different.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what about Georgia? Is Georgia any good?
Okay.
How about Arkansas? What? Vanderbilt crushed Arkansas on Saturday.
Really? Iowa State, Rutgers. We talking about them? Nebraska. Nebraska, really?
Nebraska.
Didn't Wisconsin just lose to Northwest? Hold on. Did Wisconsin just lose?
Ohio State was in danger of losing at Nebraska.
Yeah.
That was at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Wow.
They just hung 29. Alabama just hung 29 on LSU, who thumped Georgia.
Interesting.
Y'all don't want to see us. OOTG.
Us?
I told you.
How did you get to be
on
us?
40. 40 touchdowns, one interception.
Really?
And the 2018 Heisman Trophy goes to University of Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, no, I was thinking it was Kyler Murray. But
you won't bet nothing. Put some dew on it.
I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You want some dew on it, too?
But we got
a
long ways to go.
I don't know if I want dew.
What do you mean we got a long way to skip?
It's
over.
It's over?
It's O-B-A, capital.
You know what?
Over.
The bottom line to this, Alabama is playing the weakest contender schedule in the history of college football. It is.
Why you do this?
It just
we're going to have to see Georgia in the SEC championship game.
Sorry.
We done beat LSU. All these ranked teams we done blew the nose off of. All we can do is play who's on the schedule. That's what y'all tell us.
Until Michigan pops up on the schedule in the semifinal. Then we'll see what happens.
Revenge.
At the Alabama Invitational. I mean, you got to play somebody.
We'll see.
They're not going to score. Because guess what? Tua be healthy. He will be 100% healthy. Can you imagine this man healthy? Skip, he on that one leg. Finally played in the fourth quarter. I told Coach Saban, he got a plastic Coach Saban. They tried to take the Heisman from him. Let him play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
As fun as this is, Shannon, I'm done with your Bama talk. We'll save it for another day.
No mercy.
Tom Brady is coming off a big win Sunday night against the Packers, and he's already looking towards another matchup against Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots won't play Green Bay again until 2022, when Brady will be 45 years old. But he says he'll be in that game. Brady told Peter King, quote, "I'd like to go till I'm 45. I know I said that 100 times and no one believes me, but I mean, I feel good. I could go play another game tomorrow. I know what to do. It's fun. What else would you rather do than run out in front of 70,000 people and throw a football?" Shannon, do you think it'll happen?
No, I don't. And what would you rather do? Probably spend time. But that's neither here nor there. No. And you know what? I find it very ironic that a team and a guy that's one game at a time, we're on the Cincinnati. We don't get too far ahead. We just play one game at a time. Not only is he looking past the rest of this season, he's looking past 2019, 2020, 2021. So now we're 4 years into the future for a team and for a guy that pride themselves on the straight and narrow. We're focused on tomorrow. We're focused on the next opponent. Okay, if nobody believes you, who cares? Nobody believed that you were going to be the greatest. That didn't stop you. Hmm. So who are you trying to convince? It sounds like Tom Brady is trying to convince a lot of other people other than himself. Because once I said I was going to do what I was going to do, I didn't need nobody to believe me. I knew what I was going to do. Okay, Tom, if you believe it, why you constantly got to throw that up? Mm-hmm. I'm playing, I'm 45. I'm playing, I'm 45. Are you trying to send a subtle message to Coach Belichick? Or are you trying to let that message resonate with your owner because he's got your back? You got to convince nobody. Yeah, you should be able to play because they can't punish you like they once could. But I still do not believe Tom Brady's going to be playing until he's 45. It's not going to happen, Skip. But he's trying to convince someone, and it's not. And it's okay because Dan and John only played twice in the regular season in their career. They played 16 years. Well, Dan played 17, played one more year than John. But they only played twice in the regular season. They only played twice. The reason why we see this match, the matchup with Peyton and Brady so much, Skip, they used to be in the same division before they reconfigured the division. And so, and then they're in the AFC. So one of those teams was going to knock the other team out to keep advancing. Well, these are conference. They're only going to come around once every 4 years. So, and probably, and this is the second time. So this is the second time they played in 2014. They played again in 2018. They'll play again. So every 4 years. That's the way it goes right now. But no, he's not playing, and I wish he stopped talking about it. Gee, worry about who's the next. Worry about Tennessee. Tennessee going to put something on y'all. Tennessee going to put something on you. Nah, you saw Malcolm Butler giving up all them touchdowns.
Did you? I didn't see many.
He gave up both of them.
I saw two, but I didn't see.
And Coach Belichick,
I needed four.
And Coach Belichick said, "Skip, this is why he didn't play."
Oh,
that's what he said. That's Skip.
If he had played, they would have won.
He gave up more touchdowns.
Sorry. So, of all the topics we do on this show, this one eats at you more than any because it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And I keep trying to tell you, there's one man and only one man in sports I don't bet against, and it's this man. And I know he doesn't really act the part of a franchise quarterback, and he can be a little cliched and a little lame and a little corny. And yet, this has been his consistent opinion every time he's asked about it. And Peter King asked him once again about it after the game. He keeps saying, "I tried to tell everyone I'm going to play until I'm 45, whether you like it or not." That's basically what he's saying. And when we first started this show, you said you would give him that first year and then this year, and you thought this would be his last year. And now you've conceded he'll play one more year next year. And then next year, you're going to have to concede.
I ain't conceding nothing. 20.
Year, and then the next year, you're going to concede one
more year. 20 is over.
He has discovered pliability. And unless he, I'm knocking on wood, unless he suffers a career-threatening or career-ending injury, you're going to have to eat all those words because he'll play until he's 45 because he seems possessed to play until he's 45.
A lot of guys seem possessed. And I bet against him the Super Bowl. So don't pretend like you didn't see what happened, that beatdown. You saw what happened.
Beatdown?
Beatdown.
It was 41-33. Is that a beatdown?
Beatdown.
He threw the most beautiful Hail Mary I think I've ever seen and hit his 6-foot, 6-inch receiver right in the hands.
A Hail Mary. Well, is that where we're going down? Now we're talking about the beauty of a Hail Mary.
That was going to tie the game. And is that a beatdown?
Who throws the prettiest Hail Mary of all of them all?
Well, he throws them short of the end zone.
Don't do that, Skip.
Back and catch them and back into the end zone.
He's trying to convince Coach Belichick that, "Coach Belichick, I'm going to be playing at an elite level, and I would really appreciate it if you let me go out on my own terms." Coach Belichick tried to prevent that from happening a couple of years ago, last year, and it didn't happen. And Coach Belichick says, "Mr. Kraft, now I told you I wanted to trade Rob Gronkowski, and we could have possibly got a second-round pick. But you didn't listen to me. He said he was going to retire. Tom came up to your office and said, 'Dad, Coach Belichick wants to trade my friend in Gronk.' and I would possibly retire if that were to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, Gronk's going to be gone next year. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
I think he might be gone this year. No. Seriously.
Well, they can't trade him now.
I'm saying I don't know if he's going to be available.
Yeah. Tom Brady is not playing until the year 2022, Skip. You need to, and he needs to get that out of his head. It's not going to happen.
I can't get it out of his head because that's his head. And it's some head that he's got.
Hold on. Yeah. I love how Father Time can't chase Tom Brady down, but old LeBron James, Father Time is right down the corner on the doorstep.
Well, he is because we saw him the other night. Boy, that's kind of a pathetic off back-to-back. Maybe he shouldn't play back-to-backs anymore.
Hold on, Skip.
I don't know. He looked a little out of gas to me. I don't know.
So can I interest you in 28, 8, and 8 in year 16? Can I interest you in that?
Well, he scored 18 with 6 assists and 2 rebounds on a back-to-back.
Okay, so now I'm sorry, Skip. So now he's averaging 27, 8, and 7.
Okay, but he's what is he, 33?
33. He'll be 34 in December 30th. You know his birthday.
Tom Brady is 41, and it's August 3rd because that's Ernestine's birthday, and I never forget that one.
Right. And my guy hadn't missed a beat.
Nope. Although he looks like he's starting to...
We're not talking about him. We're talking about Tom Brady. Yep. You're talking about who he discovered. Well, yeah, I bet he has discovered something.
All I see on Instagram is wine and cigars, and I'm saying, LeBron, you got to cut that stuff out, man.
The thing is, I don't really concern myself with what people post. Mm. I concern myself with what they don't.
Mm.
That's how you look at it. Mm. So, yeah, people post... I mean, think about it. When you post on IG, I don't see anybody post anything about a messy house. I don't see anybody post anything about a broken down car. Mm. I don't see anybody that doesn't have less than a 10 body.
Mm. Yeah.
But you and I both know that's not realistic, Skip. Mm. Now, old Shay, you come to Shay Sharp's house right now. Mm. Now, I did get out of bed, and I didn't make the bed because, you know, I normally leave the dogs in the bed sometimes. But if you go everywhere else, everything is tucked nice and neat away.
Oh, yeah, well, you ought to come to my house, and it is spotless, and I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. But I have everything to do with it.
All right, you got me on that one. So here's the point. I love this quote that Jenny read from Tom Brady because this sums him up. What else would you rather do than run out in front of 70,000 people and throw a football? That's the essence of Tom
Giselle
Brady.
Giselle say be a full-time husband and dad.
Well, he's saying you got to be dad and mom for a while.
No. She said I was. You told me you were going to play 8 more years. That's what you told me when we met. Mm-hmm. So here we are 10 years, 11 years later, and you still trying to play. So you try to get 14. So you're...
For the first time ever, he actually took vacations in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He actually went to, where was he, in Italy?
You know where
he
was.
I don't know where he was. I couldn't keep up. I get confused with LeBron. Was in Italy, France, Germany, China. Seriously, I get mixed up. I can't keep him straight.
What does LeBron have to do with Tom Brady in Monaco?
I don't know. I told you, I just get mixed up. But the point is, he was in Qatar. And yet he spent more quality time with his kids and his wife. And again, they're just going to have to be patient for 4 more years.
What do you mean be patient?
4 more years.
You know what I noticed? It's always the people that's not being in the patient position that ask the person that is in that position to be patient. Mm. Just bear with me.
Yeah.
No! I've been bearing with you for 14.
So what have we seen from 41-year-old Tom Brady so far?
Average season.
He outgunned Patrick Mahomes. Think about this average. Let me tell you what average is. 182 yards passing in the fourth quarter against Patrick Mahomes to hold off Kansas City 43-40. A Kansas City that scored 31 second half points and Brady outgunned that kid.
He scored 9 in the first half.
Put him right back in his place. Mm-hmm. Schooled him.
Don't do that, Skip.
And then what happened?
Stop it, Skip.
What happens? Well, you told me he made 2 big mistakes.
He did. Okay. Like somebody else made 2 big mistakes last night.
No.
But we ain't going to bring that up.
Well, what does that have to do with this? We're talking about the greatest quarterback
ever. No, we're not talking about him.
We just saw
When did the topic become about Joe Montana or Aaron Rodgers? When was that at the...
So Tom Brady has his team sitting at 7-2, which is only a game behind the team he already beat.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Game behind.
Oh, okay.
Game behind.
But that's still pretty great for 41, right? You see erosion. I don't see any erosion. Sorry.
So we are 16-7, 16-8.
So he didn't have Julian Edelman for the first 4 games. Okay. And by the way, Julian Edelman has lost some burst after his ACL year when he was out. He doesn't look the same to me.
He's
got Josh Gordon with a piano on his back as his primary receiver, and Gronk is gone.
Hold on.
is gone, and he's got a kick returner as his primary running back.
Hey, guess what?
You like that?
And the guy that threw the pass that broke the camel's back was thrown by a college quarterback that plays receiver. No. You don't want to mention that.
The camel's back was broken by Brady to Josh Gordon. That's what broke the camel's back.
Skip, the turnover. As soon as they got the turnover, they end up throwing the pass, the flea flicker pass. They threw it to Edelman. Mm. Edelman threw it to James White, and they ended up getting down the field. So stop playing. Mm. You know that. I know that. But he's not playing to 2022. Mm. That's not happening. Mm.
I got Brady going to 8-2 at Tennessee. Maybe he can beat Tennessee because my team can't beat
Tennessee. Not talking about your team. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Tom Brady that's not going to be playing in 2022.
I could see Tom Brady losing only one more game down the stretch, which would get them to 13-3. And I don't know. Boy, I like their chances of getting back to yet another Super Bowl. Could it be possible Tom Brady's on his way to his ninth Super Bowl?
Anything's possible. They put man on the moon.
Oh, so eight. So eight men on the moon before this one, but now nine.
Yeah, they put man on the moon, so anything's possible. Yeah,
okay, well, this will be the ninth.
Okay, how about possible and likely? Mm. Those are two entirely different things.
So the Tom Brady I see is actually, he's running with the ball. He's quarterback.
Is that what you call that? What he's doing?
Yeah, he is. He's trying.
Running?
In quarterback sneaking. Have you ever seen a better quarterback sneaker than Tom Brady? I haven't. I'm sorry. He's the best
Skip,
ever.
Skip, that's not a stat. That's
it's
nothing.
It's a skill. It's a skill.
You just be making stuff up and trying to make Tom Brady. He's
not
the best quarterback sneaker of all time. Really?
Did you see him throw a block on Sunday night?
He didn't throw no block.
He threw a block.
He's the only guy that's running down the field. Here's a guy that has such football IQ, high football IQ. Mm-hmm. And he don't know. Well, I don't know what's legal, what's not legal. I don't know who to cut. I don't know. Did you hear him say that, Skip?
Aw, shucks, gee whiz. This is how he blows off the media. It's like he keeps it at arm's length.
And then he says,
I don't know.
And didn't hit a soul.
I don't know.
I keep telling defenders, when Tom Brady is out there, that's your opportunity to unload on him. Mm. He's in a blocking position. Mm. You can decapitate him. Mm. Y'all learning right there, I don't want to hit Tom.
I can't wait till Thanksgiving when he posts his annual Instagram picture. He'll be in the leaves in the backyard and jump up.
So cheesy. Oh, that is so cheesy.
I love it.
Turkey,
I love
you know,
Corny Tom.
Jump out and
I love
scare
Corny
his
Tom.
Kid. Yeah. Corny Tom
Dad
is something.
Tom.
Corny
Jolly
Tom.
Jolly Jeannie.
Psycho
you need
Tom.
To stop.
I like all Toms.
You know what, Jeannie?
You know what?
After what we saw Sunday?
You're
going
to have to deal with Corny Tom for four more years.
That ain't happening. I got one more tops.
Four more
One
years.
More tops.
I know you hate that phrase, four more years. It's scary.
1 year tops. Just like I got one more night tops.
Yeah, all right.
I got 1 year, Skip, 20, and it's a wash.
Do you have bad dreams about Tom Brady?
No.
Seriously.
Act like I slept very good last night.
Did you?
Night.
I'm sure
you did. Yeah. I mean, why you do that, Skip? Why would you post throwing Dak's jersey away?
Did you see? You follow me on Instagram?
No, somebody sent it to me.
I saw that, too. I was worried
about
you.
Undisputed posted it.
Undisputed did?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're concerned about you.
I was worried.
How many views does it have so far?
I don't know, but they called and got you on a 5150.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever and true.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
True.
But you're too different. I mean, look at you and look at me over there. I was chilly.
Yeah.
Had some nice music going in the
background. What did you post? I don't know.
Oh, Shay Shay.
I don't know. Because I don't follow you. I don't care what you post. I don't know. I have no idea.
Skip, that's unnecessary.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'll keep you posted what you need to know. Is the jersey still in the trash, though?
Yes, we left it in the trash last night with my hat. I threw my hat in the trash.
I did see that, too. We are going to go back to the Cowboys.
But I still got my white jersey, the white number four.
There's some hope.
Did you throw that away on Sunday?
I'm on. No
mercy. One of LeBron's other jobs is as executive producer of the Showtime series Shut Up and Dribble. The next episode airs Saturday and will focus on Michael Jordan's past of avoiding social issues. Jordan famously declined to get involved in a heated North Carolina Senate race in 1990 and reportedly uttered the famous quote, "Republicans buy shoes too." So Shannon, what is your reaction to hearing this?
LeBron being politically active. It's very important to him. There's an event that happened that changed, I think, the way he think, and he mentions it. It was the death of Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. You see, LeBron James has two young sons that were going to be the age of Trayvon Martin, and he was going to have a conversation. So when you can see something happening to you, because I can assure you, Trayvon Martin's parents never thought they would get that phone call. You see, that event impacted LeBron. There was an event that happened when Jordan was playing. It was the Rodney King situation. Skip, see, Michael could never see himself in this position that Rodney King found himself in. So it's hard if you can't see yourself in that position to empathize with someone in that position. Mm-hmm. We can empathize with someone having cancer, Skip, because we can see, oh, that can happen to us.
Yeah. Or, now, Michael had children. He had two sons, right, too, but go ahead. Yeah.
But he couldn't see Michael Jordan's kids.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That might be your kid, but especially, and to be fair now, mm-hmm, he's given $5 million to the Smithsonian, the National mm-hmm Museum of African American. He gave $2 million to stop the violence police, and he just donated, I think, another $2 million for the hurricane that affected his hometown, yeah, I think Wilmington. I think mm-hmm he's from
yes,
that area,
it is.
Yep. North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So he's become more attentive mm-hmm to social issues. But the athletes today are different than the athletes, say, when Michael. Because not to say not, because you saw the Russells and the Kareems and the Jim Browns, they took a different stance, but that was the 60s. The 80s, Michael was trying to build a brand. And he was and he felt that I got to please everybody. Because if one person don't like something that I said, that's a potential buyer.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is taking a different approach. He's saying, look, what I see going on in our society, yep, if someone decides not to buy my shoes, if someone decides not to buy paraphernalia that I endorse or a product that mm-hmm I endorse, or they refuse to come to a game yep because of something that I said, mm-hmm, or I'm speaking out against wrongs or injustices I see, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't where Michael was. See, I'm not going to beat Michael up for it, because when you do something like this, Skip, it's got to be in you. You can't fool around with it. Mm-hmm. You can't half-step. It's like I'm just doing it because everybody else is doing it, mm-hmm, because you'll get exposed.
You will.
As a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to be that. So he didn't take a stance. He didn't talk about issues mm-hmm during those times.
Yep.
Okay, fine. That wasn't where he was. I don't think it's ever too late to do the right thing. And if you see some of the things that he's done
yep
over the last 2 to 3 mm-hmm years, it shows that things are starting to resonate more with him. Mm-hmm. He feels a lot more comfortable with where he is now, mm-hmm, and he can do that.
Yep.
But I'm a little surprised that LeBron, because it's supposed to be about athletes and social activism,
mm-hmm,
not athletes that didn't become socially active.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a little surprised that LeBron, you know, Michael, you know, obviously wasn't Kareem or didn't take mm-mm the social activism or anything like that. So I'm a little surprised in that aspect. But from
and LeBron did have to sign off. He's yeah, the executive producer,
absolutely,
right?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
So, but things in today, I think it's impacting the athlete today differently than it did the guys in Michael's era.
Yep. So, point number one. As you know, I've always lauded and applauded LeBron James when it came to being such a powerful social justice spokesman. When he speaks or tweets or posts, I listen.
Mm-hmm.
I absorb, because he's always informed and he is always piercingly on point. He is the best. He's right up there in that pantheon of Kareem and Muhammad Ali.
Right.
He has risen into those ranks.
Yes.
And with Michael Jordan, I have never, ever come close to trying to defend him, because he wanted no part of speaking out, number one, or taking action, number two. And when I covered him in Chicago back in the late 90s, especially in 1998, which was his last year, I asked him about this. Was he uncomfortable not getting him? You know, why not? And he said he just didn't feel qualified enough to speak out because he was so obsessed with basketball. And trust me, he was obsessed.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially through that final Bulls run in 1998 to go 6-0 in the finals, another
right
MVP. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm just not knowledgeable enough to speak credibly about these issues, because the truth was, he didn't tell me this, but I just don't think he cared.
No.
I don't think he followed politics,
right,
any sort of racial issue. He just didn't delve right into it. He didn't follow it
and
closely.
Basically, Skip, if it wasn't like something like the Rodney King, mm-hmm, it's not like it is now where you see if something happens, somebody got it on cell phone video, yep, or something, there's camera. So it wasn't, we didn't have the reach
yep
that we have now.
Right. Was he fully aware of how valuable his shoe brand is and was at that point? You better believe he was. And was he going to say anything that might remotely threaten it? No, he
right
was not. So he scrupulously avoided all of that. He just wanted no part of it. And again, I didn't love it, but I didn't ever condemn it.
Right.
And I don't think you're condemning
no
it either,
no,
because that's pretty much who he was right or wasn't, right?
Skip, you remember when that shoe came out in Chicago? Kids were dying for that shoot. Kids were getting killed. And they wanted Michael to speak, and he didn't say anything. Mm. And you know, and I'm like, okay, maybe he should have said something. But that's, like you said, Skip, if that's not your space, you don't occupy someone else's space, that's not where you are. This seems to be LeBron. This is LeBron's wheelhouse.
Yep.
He feels very comfortable.
And Michael, in 1998, was fully aware he was the greatest athlete in the world.
Yes.
And that with that came a lot of power. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to speak out of turn where he spoke. He sent the wrong message,
right,
because he just wasn't aware enough to speak.
But no matter what, Skip, no matter what the issue is, if you say something, you're going to upset someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tiger's been one of those guys that's avoided
another
that.
One.
Because you know, Skip, I don't care what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could say, well, you know what? You shouldn't kill elephants. Well, there's the hunter that says, I want to be able to hunt. I'm paying $300,000 to go shoot this animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I might not agree with it, but there are going to be some people that do agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't please everybody no matter what the issue or how harmless mm-hmm. you think the issue is. Well, LeBron has basically come to the realization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm LeBron James, who I am. Everybody's not going to like me mm-hmm. no matter what I say.
But I think 95% do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a little misguided.
Well,
there,
I can assure you, Skip, if it was 95 at one point,
mm-hmm.
the stance he's taken out since President Trump has become elected official of some of the things that he sees. I'm sure that's probably come down some, because there are some people that there are some people that like President Trump that don't like LeBron speaking out. Because remember, the term, the title of this docuseries, Shut Up and Dribble,
came from
someone that likes President Trump, but all of a sudden they don't like LeBron. And he understands that. You can't please everybody.
Yep.
But these issues, like I said, that Trayvon Martin, knowing that you have two.
Yeah.
No, Skip, I got a son that's going to have a birthday in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be 26. And I've had the conversation with him. I say, son, if they ever stop you, do what they ask.
Ugh.
I said, I can't get another son. I can get more money because I get the best attorney that I possibly can.
Yeah.
It's not worth it because he has all the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Just call your dad. And your dad gonna be on the plane. I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just be smart about this thing.
Okay. So obviously, off the court, as a social justice warrior, LeBron is far greater than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Off
no
the
question.
Court.
Yeah.
To me, on the court, Michael is far greater than LeBron. But there is competition between the two, and I do believe LeBron knew full well that he's signing off on this is the second of the three documentaries. It is anti-Jordan.
Yeah, and it would be viewed as him taking a shot at Jordan for his
or at least
social activism.
Trying to expose it or put it in perspective, put it in its place. Okay, so let's flip it around. Question for you.
Yes.
What if Michael Jordan was the executive producer of a documentary on LeBron's meltdown in the 2011 finals?
Mm-hmm.
Let's tear it all apart. Let's get to the guts of it, the bottom of it. What happened to LeBron James mm-hmm. in the 2011 finals? Would that be seen as a shot by Michael at LeBron?
Yeah, but
would that be fair?
We think about this. When Michael has really never gone out of his way to heap praise on LeBron. He's constantly said that Kobe, and every time Michael says something, when you're dealing with someone like Michael, Skip, and it comes to basketball, we parse everything he says. It's just like when Jack Nicklaus says something about golf.
Yep.
We parse everything that he says.
That
so you talk
true.
About. So anytime he says something, well, Kobe has five is more than whatever. We take that. That's Mike taking a shot at Bron, or Kobe did this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it is. And maybe they're going back and forth. Look, when you get to that level, Skip, you're competitive.
Mm.
You're very, very competitive. You know you know the pecking order. You know how you proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how, I can assure you, look, they've gone over this thing with a fine-tooth comb. LeBron knows how this is going to come off, that he's taking the shot, because it's about athletes and social activism,
mm-hmm. yeah.
not athletes that didn't participate.
Mm-hmm. Now, the ultimate shot would be if LeBron were quoted in the documentary as taking a shot at Michael for his lack of participation.
Well, the mere fact that everybody knows that follows Michael mm-hmm. Jordan knows that he didn't take a stance.
Yeah.
So, this is going to
be... Yeah, this isn't like revealing. We all knew this, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think LeBron knows how this is going to come off.
Mm.
And I'm sure some people won't be excited about it, but some people like, well, he didn't lie. Because, you know, the thing is now, Jen, when I grew up, people called it telling the truth. Millennials now call it hating. That's what they call it. No, when I grew up, you know, my grandfather said, boy, tell the truth. Then now if you tell the truth, they call it hating. Nah. So LeBron, you know, they're like, oh, LeBron hating on Mike.
Or trolling, which I'm like, well, what if you tell the truth? Is that trolling?
I never thought of it that way. That makes sense.
Yeah, they always come up and try to, you know, try to get off the hook. I ain't let them off. I don't do no trolling, Skip Bayless. That ain't what I do.
What do you do? No, I don't know.
I used to go fishing.
Oh, you
fishing? Yeah, little trolling motors. You get up in them little hard to reach places. Yeah, Skip Bayless, did you know I was a great fisherman?
No, I did not know that.
Jenny.
Really?
I caught a fish so big, left a hole in the water. Jenny, it's a true story.
Have you been waiting for that one?
No, like Jenny. Skip, I'm going to go to Oklahoma.
Man,
y'all can fish. Oh, yeah.
Woman, man. Okay.
You go fishing?
No, not well.
All them lakes in Minnesota.
I know. I'm not very good. Ice fishing, that's my thing.
Jenny, do you do anything?
What do you mean? I do this.
You don't exercise? I mean, you stop working out?
She does.
No, she does.
Why
she quit.
Does
she quit.
Today?
She quit.
I cannot quit exercising.
Quit. Yep. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We're back at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then. Facts, sports, one of one.